According to the American Cancer Society, when breast cancer is detected early and is in localized stages, the 5-year relative survival rate is 99%. Along with mammograms, advanced technology using DNA testing can help detect breast cancer. As we continue Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we met with Ogden Clinic Women's Health Specialist Dr. Amber Whittier to talk about methods of prevention by detection and genetic testing for breast cancer. Welcome to The Daily Diagnosis, a healthy lifestyle podcast provided by Ogden Clinic. We're your prescription for health-centered conversation, stories, and advice. I'm Parker Shaw, and with the help of my team and featuring the talented providers of Ogden Clinic, you'll reach a positive prognosis for your podcast addiction by listening to The Daily Diagnosis. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Daily Diagnosis. This is Parker here from the marketing team, and I'm joined by Dr. Amber Whittier, who is actually one of our OBGYN providers for Ogden Clinic. Dr. Whittier, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We're happy to have you back. It's been a little while since we've had you. Can you kind of just tell our listeners where you practice and what you do for the clinic?
Yeah, I am at the Ogden Regional Women's Center. So we're on the third floor of the Women's Center at Ogden Regional Hospital. And I am a gynecologist that specializes in laparoscopic and robotic surgery. But I also do all types of GYN problems. And I'm really passionate about hereditary cancer syndromes, which is what we're going to talk about today. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, which I think is the perfect topic for today because, you know, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And, you know, I think we often hear about mammograms and other ways of prevention. But I think, like you mentioned, like hereditary and genetic testing is something that's maybe not as talked about. And I think since you have kind of that position where you're more knowledgeable and available to share that information, we'd love to hear a little bit more about that from you today. So can you just kind of give us a brief introduction about how this genetic testing works and if it's something that you use frequently with your patients?
Yes, anytime someone comes into my office as a new patient, because established patients we've already screened, everybody gets a screening, whether you're there for something routine, you're there for a surgery consult, it something unrelated, it doesn't matter. We will go over your breast cancer, ovarian cancer, colon cancer, any of those histories and see if you meet criteria for testing for hereditary cancer syndromes. If you do meet criteria for that, we test you right there in the office. It's a blood test that we do. We send it to the genetics company and they check insurances. I think one of the common misconceptions is that insurance doesn't cover it because 10 years ago, it was harder to get covered.
Oh, now, for sure.
Now it's under Obamacare, it's under U.S. Preventative Task Force Services. It's a level B recommendation, meaning most insurances are required to cover it at full cost. So no cost.
Oh, good.
If patients do get charged for it, it's usually less than $100. So I think one of the things that keeps people from getting tested is they think they're going to get charged a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, I can totally see that. Because I think I too would think, oh, genetic testing, that sounds like an expensive route. But it's good to hear that, you know, not very expensive. And if not, hopefully it's covered, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. And so when women come in, like I said, we're going to screen everybody for them. And one of the things that is not uncommon is someone with a really extensive history of breast or ovarian cancer, and nobody's ever talked to them about genetic testing. And usually they're all worried about it. They know they have these family members with breast cancer and they're concerned and nobody said anything. So, you know, when we talk to them about genetic testing, most people will do it both for themselves and for their children. They want to know. And then it just gives them a lot of knowledge. If they're negative, you know, they still have some risk given the fact that they have family members, but we can screen them better. And if they're positive, then we can also screen them better. They get intensive screenings with mammograms and breast MRIs every year. And then at some point, they'd qualify for prophylactic mastectomy. And so instead of being a survivor of breast cancer, you now become a previvor. You have that risk, and we've taken your risk to as low as we can get it. And in my opinion, that's pretty awesome. We're saving lives when we do that.
I think that's so cool. And so cool, like, what a cool way of prevention. So I guess you might have kind of touched on this a little bit. Did you mention that, like, it requires family history or, like, conditions to get the test? Or what kind of criteria does a patient have or need to have before they qualify for something such as genetic testing?
Yeah, there's some specific things that we look at. So one is family members with breast cancer and ovarian cancer and the age that they were diagnosed. So okay. Let's say someone comes into my office and they have one family member with breast cancer. Well, if that family member's in their 80s, I don't worry. That's not really a big red flag. But if that family member was 40, that's a huge red flag. Young breast cancer is a red flag for hereditary cancer syndromes. So that would meet national criteria to be tested for the BRCA gene, which is the most common gene that carries breast and ovarian cancer in families. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of others. We panel test people for other genes that cause breast cancer, but that one's the most common. So besides young breast cancer, multiple family members. So if you have three family members with breast cancer at any age, you meet criteria. Like I said, young breast cancer, if anybody's had a triple negative breast cancer, and what that means is most breast cancers estrogen and progesterone positive, meaning it responds to hormones. If it's triple negative, it doesn't have any hormone receptors at all. And that is an aggressive type of cancer that's harder to treat. And so that's a big red flag for a hereditary cancer syndrome.
Awesome.
And then I know we're talking about breast cancer, but ovarian cancer, any family member, any age meets criteria to be tested because those cancers run together.
Perfect. Well, that was super clear. Thank you so much for answering that. So maybe this is a little kind of venturing out a little bit, but I wanted to ask, how accurate is this kind of testing?
So this is looking at DNA. So your DNA. So what they do is they sequence your DNA and then they match it against years, decades now of data of things that we know that are abnormal and not abnormal. And what I mean by that is our DNA is not always 100% perfect. You know, we go through all these things and there's little blips here and there. But does what the problem is do we know if that blip causes a problem? So if you have a little thing in a BRCA gene, they're going to put it against a database with, again, decades of information of does that cause cancer or does it not? So it's pretty accurate in the fact that they know your DNA is, you know, normal or a little bit abnormal. The thing that is going to take even more time is those little abnormals, do they cause cancer or not? And again, we have decades worth of information, but as time goes on, we're going to learn more. And as people have them and they get more data and more people, that will change. But right now, you know, it's at least with BRCA, that's the one that's been known about the most. They're pretty good at telling those.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great to know. And I think what, like you mentioned, it's so cool that this technology is just continually being developed and growing and getting stronger and better. And so I think, you know, as it is so successful already, it's great and so positive to know that it will just keep getting better from today on. So that's awesome. Well, I wanted to keep going. Sorry.
When I first started testing people about 10 years ago, we really only tested for BRCA, which is the breast and ovarian cancer, and then Lynch, which is a colon, endometrial cancer, and ovarian. That was really all we had. Now we have 35 panels, and there's like 8 that carry breast cancer. I mean, it's really quite advanced now.
Yeah. That's awesome. So cool. I love learning about this. I think it's so fun. My wife was able to do some genetic testing, not for BRCA or anything, but it was like for checking for heart genes. And it was this very similar like blood test. Just so cool to see how it worked. And like we got to meet with like genetic counselors a little bit more in depth, but so, so awesome. So kind of just going back and talking about just breast cancer in general, from a standpoint of a woman's healthcare provider, how common is that you see that amongst your patients?
Breast cancer?
Yeah.
So when you look statistically, 1 in 8 women, about 11% of women will develop breast cancer, which is pretty high. I think that a lot of women too think, well, I don't have a family history, I'm going to be fine. And that's not true. Most women's cancer, breast cancer is mostly in someone without a family history, spontaneous, non-hereditary cancer. Mm-hmm. When you look at people that have a family history of cancer, typically about 1 in 4 of them are going to meet criteria to be tested for a BRCA gene. And that's a lot of women we're missing that test on. Because if you're not screening these patients, you're not finding them to test them so that you know if they do or don't have a gene.
Right. So have you noticed or I don't know, I guess this is maybe taking a different approach to the question. Have you noticed an influx or a decrease in screenings and seeing your patients due to COVID-19 or anything like that?
Yeah, I have. It fortunately hasn't been a significant, and I do think a lot of them who were nervous to get it in March are getting it now. But I have seen that, especially in my older patients. And again, as we get older, our risk of cancer goes up. So yeah, I have seen that a little bit. So I do encourage people to get it. Although, you know, if they wait 6 to 8 months, typically that's not going to be an issue. Sometimes it is, but more commonly you're going to be fine if you do need to wait a little bit.
Sure. Well, and that's super great. I'm glad that it hasn't been a huge decrease or anything. Well, I wanted to ask, just to kind of wrap things up, it's been really awesome to learn about, how this genetic testing works. Seeing as it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, are there any sort of pieces of advice or tips that you'd give to, especially our female listeners, who are considering or wondering if they should get tested?
Yeah, I think if you have a family history, to reach out to your primary care provider, OBGYN. You can reach out to us at Ogden Regional Women's Center, through Ogden Clinic, that we have testing there. Because again, knowledge is power. If you have this information, you can do a lot more about it. The other thing that I don't think a lot of women know is that you need to start breast cancer screening 10 years before your earliest family member. So if your grandma had it at 40, you need to start testing at 30.
Wow.
If you don't have a family history, we start testing at 40. So that's a big difference. And so if nobody's talking to you about this, you don't know. Same thing, I know we're talking about breast, but same thing with colon cancer, 10 years before your earliest family member. So I think just reaching out to people that do a lot of these, you know, screenings, these high risk patients, so that we can see if you meet criteria to get tested, start your screenings early. And then studies show that breast exams don't make a difference, but I truly feel like women that are aware of their breast tissue can tell when there's a change and come in. So
right.
I encourage people, you know, to do them every couple of months so that they're familiar. I've had several people that I've done their breast exam. They had a negative mammogram, and then 6 months later, they found their breast cancer on exam.
Wow. So yeah.
It's really important to have that and to be, you know, up to date on what screenings you need.
Yeah, I think that's also really surprising. I didn't know that about being tested 10 years before a family member. And I think what you said as well, being self-aware and doing those self-exams can help, you know, as long as you know, I think it's easy to freak yourself out. But I know in the case of my mom had breast cancer. And because she was aware and took good care of herself, she was able to discover the lump that identified that she had breast cancer. And I think, you know, it's kind of a scary thing. And I think sometimes we liked with these diseases, something that we kind of like to push to the side and avoid if we can. But I think, like you mentioned, you know, being self-aware, being screened early on is so, so important. So thanks for sharing that piece of information. So is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we wrap things up today?
No, I think just again reiterating, if you have a family history, reach out. And there's also a lot of things online where you can take genetic cancer screening tests to see if you qualify, and then just staying up to date on your screenings. I actually am seeing younger and younger breast cancer. I'm not sure if it's what we're eating, something in the environment. We haven't really figured it out. But it's definitely concerning. So making sure people are up to date and again, aware of their breast exams, I think that's the big key.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. Dr. Whittier, thank you so much for chatting with us today. And for all of our listeners, this is once again with Dr. Amber Whittier, who's at our Ogden Regional Women's Center for Ogden Clinic. You can find more information about Dr. Amber Whittier online on our ogdenclinic.com, or give us a call and we can be happy to schedule an appointment for you for those screenings. And thanks for tuning in and listening to The Daily Diagnosis. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of The Daily Diagnosis. We're so happy that you joined us today. If you would like to find more information about Ogden Clinic, our providers, or locations, visit us at ogdenclinic.com. If you're listening today from Apple Podcasts app, make sure you leave us a review or subscribe so you can receive more information about the different episodes that we post. We love getting feedback from our audience, so those reviews are priceless to us. If you also would like to shout us out on social media, our Instagram handle is at Ogden Clinic. You can also send us a DM if there's a topic that you would like our providers to cover, and we really look forward to hearing from you. We post episodes weekly, so tune in next week, and we can't wait to be with you again. Have a great week.